This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
In a few minutes, why the price of gasoline is probably headed the wrong way. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, higher interest rates to fight inflation are a double-edged sword. If Federal Reserve officials don't get it just right, people lose jobs. I spoke to the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, Susan M. Collins, who advises on policy but is not, according to the Fed's rotating calendar, a voting member of the Interest Rate Setting Committee right now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
You have said that the costs of higher inflation and the costs of higher unemployment are disproportionately borne, shouldered by the most vulnerable people. Paying more for energy, more for housing is hard, but getting thrown out of work by higher interest rates is especially hard. How do you think about these trade-offs, that the remedy for inflation can be damaging in itself?
Yeah, that's a really important question. And it's absolutely true that both the toll of inflation and costs of unemployment tend to be borne by the most vulnerable. At the same time, I think it's really important to understand that inflation takes a toll on all of us. It influences businesses' investment and project decisions, and it hurts consumers. And so that's the why of the resolute focus on bringing inflation down so that we can get back to price stability and focusing on maximum employment.
Are you expecting many more interest rate increases this year?
Well, in March, we just released our summary of economic projections. My view at the time, and this was, of course, just last week, was that perhaps one more increase might be sufficiently tight and then holding for some time. But I want to emphasize that I don't make decisions in advance. I will holistically review both the statistical analysis, what our models are saying, and what I hear from my conversations around the First District, in order to make a decision about what I think is the best policy.
60% of business economists surveyed were thinking we'll be in a recession sometime between now and next winter. What are you thinking about recession?
I think that there are, of course, risks and uncertainties, and it's important to take those very seriously. At the same time, I see a lot of resilience in the economy, and my baseline case is that we bring inflation down without requiring a significant downturn. One of the key risks is a loss of confidence that could actually be self-fulfilling. And again, there are many dimensions in which our economy is proving quite resilient. And so that makes me think that a significant downturn is actually not needed.
I mean, soft landing, that's what you're talking about. They're rare. Is there something special about the economy now that lends you to take heart in the idea that we could actually pull a soft landing off this time?
There are a number of unusual aspects of our economy at the moment, and important to continue monitoring them. One is business balance sheets are actually overall quite strong. Household balance sheets as well. We know there was a lot of excess savings related to the pandemic. All of those things contribute to, you know, the resilient demand that we're still seeing. And firms had so much difficulty hiring that a number of firms continue to tell us that unless there were a significant downturn, they're less likely to be letting go workers. So there are some unusual resilient factors that do make me what I call realistically optimistic.
Susan M. Collins is president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. She's an economist and the former provost of the University of Michigan. President Collins, thank you for coming. Despite the touch of laryngitis I'm still hearing.
Yes, really a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
The Fed is also a key regulator of banks, and I asked Collins if supervision was adequate given the collapse of Silicon Valley and Signature Banks the other week. All of it is streamable from the Marketplace.org homepage or in the Morning Report podcast feed if you missed that part on the air today. On Friday, we'll get the latest reading on hiring and unemployment for March. Today, we'll get another guide for the economy, spending on construction in America, which had been booming up 54% in a year. Here's Marketplace's Justin Ho.
There are advantages to building out manufacturing capacity in the U.S. and relying less on global supply chains.
It makes sense oftentimes to make more here, right? You can control quality a little bit better. You don't have some of the logistics challenges.
That's Chad Moutray, chief economist at the National Association of Manufacturers. He says it helps that policymakers have been encouraging manufacturers to expand.
We had the Chips and Science Act, which is encouraging a lot more semiconductor production in the U.S. The Inflation Reduction Act encourages a lot of particularly battery production in the EV market to take place here.
That said, domestic manufacturing has a long way to go before the U.S. can start relying on its own products, says Teresa Fort, a professor at Dartmouth.
Imports are a lot higher than they were prior to COVID, and so that does not suggest a lot of reshoring or a lot of replacement of foreign goods by U.S. firms.
Meanwhile, Fort says U.S. manufacturers are still struggling to find workers, and labor costs are high. That means building out more manufacturing in the U.S. will be pretty expensive. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Now to the surprise move last night, causing crude oil prices to surge nearly 6% to above $80 a barrel this morning. The oil producers cartel OPEC Plus is cutting production by just over 1%. Saudi Arabia calls this a precautionary measure to stabilize prices, which drooped amid the uncertainties of the banking mess in Europe and the U.S. When does this show up at the pump? Samir Hashmi is Middle East business editor for our partners at the BBC. He's in Dubai.
Certainly, the expectation is that prices will go up. By how much and how soon is something that we'll have to see in the coming days. We've already seen oil prices are up today. There are some analysts who are saying that oil prices could go up by almost $10 a barrel from where it was yesterday before the announcement came in. So definitely, we are going to see that impacting gasoline and gas prices across the world. Consumers will have to shell out more, which is not good news. It's not good news for the overall global economy, cost of living, and definitely not good news for gasoline and oil prices.
Let's check in with Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, about the week ahead, starting with the oil producers' decision to gin up prices.
This is coming at a time where the global economy is already facing a number of challenges, the banking crisis, and will that result in a credit crunch? So it could hurt demand and slow the economy. It could elicit a supply response from other producers like those in the U.S., which could bring prices down. So there's a lot of ways that this can go. It's very early initial reaction here.
Busy week we have. It's already time for the monthly employment report. That'll happen on Friday. Seems like just a couple weeks ago I got the last one.
That's right. Yep. So we've got another jobs report. Again, is the economy running too hot? Is it already cooling down? This is going to be one of the key determinants of whether the Fed decides to raise interest rates again or not. It's looking still like a very healthy labor market, although there are signs of slowing, a little bit of a broadening in layoff announcements outside of the tech sector. So we'll see. Should still be a decent gain in jobs.
All right. Julia Coronado, founder and president, Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.